Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Welcome to the first Sunday at church. How many of you are so glad you're in the house of God? You made a good decision by being here today. I know that in Western Australia right now, we all have to wear masks, but that should not stop your response. Amen. So if something has been shared from the pulpit today that resonates in your heart, just yell out, yes, amen. Don't let that muzzle your praise and your response, amen. You know, the end of a year and the start of a new one is quite a strange time, really, isn't it? Like, it's the 31st of December and it's the end of the year, and then like the 1st of January comes. Really, in many ways, we feel like it's the closing of something and the beginning of another. That's why people make New Year's resolutions and fresh starts and all those sorts of things. But also in some other ways, it's really just another day. Makes sense to you? Yeah. And so, you know, when it comes to first sermons for the year, you'd expect that, you know, that there'd be a bit revy, a bit rah-rah, a bit of a real rev up. But the sense that I get today in my first sermon for our church that's streamed across all our campuses and even into online, is that I want to bring a prophetic word to you, to everyone in campus as well as online, a message that I pray will calibrate and align and assure you in what may seem like an increasingly uncertain and unpredictable season, not just here in Australia, but across the globe coming up in 2022. And funnily enough, the Lord spoke this message to me out of an unexpected passage of scripture, a passage that you wouldn't think God would use to reveal what He wants to say to us today, but the Lord is full of surprises, hey? Amen? So here we go. We're going to read John chapter 13. Could we just please stand to honor the Word of God across all our campuses today? We're going to read John chapter 13. It says here, verse 1, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to His Father. He loved His disciples during His ministry on earth, and now He loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything. How many of you are so glad in 2022 that Jesus has authority over everything? And that He had come from God and would return to God. So He got up from the table, took off His robe, wrapped a towel around His waist, poured water into a basin. Then He began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel He had around Him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to Him, Lord, are You going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, and here is a prophetic word to many of you watching today and in the room. Jesus says this, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that incredible passage of scripture? Grab your seat. Grab your seat. Today, I want to speak to you on the thought, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand what you're doing. How many of you have been in a season in your life, maybe in 2021, it was the kind of year for you where it felt like God was doing things in your life that you just didn't understand. It's like, why would you be doing that, God? Am I alone in the room? Maybe there were some things that you expected God to do and it seemed like He wasn't doing it. Maybe there were some things that God was doing that were the complete opposite to what you prayed for and asked and expected for Him to do. And it seemed like Jesus was doing something that you simply did not understand. There are often confusions and questions at this time of the year. Maybe you're starting the new year and there are more questions that you've got in your heart than you have had answers. There are quiet concerns. Maybe there are deep anxieties about the kind of year that 2022 is going to, you know, hold for you. Maybe there are deep disappointments that you're carrying right now at the start of a new year. Maybe you're watching online and the sense is that I don't even want to go to church because how can I be with all of these happy, clappy people in the room that have got all their act together, and here I am carrying this sense of deep disappointment of the kind of year that has not transpired the way that I expected to. You know, I want to say this to you today, that there wouldn't be a person within the sound of my voice that has not been in a season in their life. Maybe you're in one right now where you're literally saying, God, I don't understand what you're doing. Here's a prophetic word for you today. Jesus was doing something in the room in an unexpected way and in a way that did not make sense for His disciples. He gathers them in the room. In the middle of a meal, He gets up, which was not the done thing culturally back then. He takes off His outer garment. He proceeds to get a foot washing towel, pours water into a basin, and he starts to wash dirty, crusty feet. It was an act that even lowly servants had the right to decline to do. Jesus did what was unexpected, and he did what didn't make any sense. And Jesus could read the room. It's like these guys, these disciples who knew him really well. This was towards the end of his ministry with them. They all looked at him like a deer in headlights. You know that expression? That shocked look of like, Jesus, what are you doing? And Simon Peter was the only one to actually vocalize and say, you know, what are you doing, Jesus? Don't touch my feet like this. I don't understand what you're doing. Jesus says a most powerful and profound line. He looks Peter in the eye and says, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but one day you will. There are some things that you're going through right now that you don't understand what God is doing. I want to say this to you today, one day you will. You don't understand it right now, but one day you will. You know, there's nothing that rattles a believer more, I think, than Jesus doing something that's unexpected and something that it just doesn't make any sense to us. How many of you been in that place? How many of you like to understand things? Like, you just want to know how things work. I mean, I don't know about you, but following Jesus is difficult sometimes, Roland Murphy. He's the kind of guy that does things that are unexpected and that doesn't make any sense. It's that there's a storm beating into the boat, Jesus, and you're asleep. That's the kind of Savior we got. Hello, can I have my money back? Here's the receipt. You know what I'm talking about? Like, can I exchange for a new Savior? Because it's not working for me. Like following Jesus is not easy. He's the kind of Savior that would come to you at the end of a massive night shift of fishing where you've caught no fish, you've washed your nets, you hung it out to dry, and then he says, carpenter, telling fishermen, can you pull all your nets off, go out into the deep for another catch? Now, Jesus often does things, or maybe he's not even doing things the way that we expect, and it doesn't make sense, and it's unexpected. Maybe you're here at the end of 2021, start of 2022. And you're saying, God, I don't understand what you're doing with my finances. Like we expected our house to sell. We expected this business deal to come through. We expected that development that we were planning to really, we expected that job promotion to come. We expected some things in our career to take steps, you know, forward. If it seems right now that you don't understand what Jesus is doing in your finances, I want to say this to you. He is saying to you, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but one day you will. Come on, are you out there? Maybe there's people here in the era of your health. Maybe in 2021, you finished the year sensing that God, I should have got my breakthrough in my health right now. I've got this chronic condition. I'm still dealing with these things. Here I am at the start of 2022, and I still don't understand what you're doing. I want to say this to you today. You don't understand now what he's doing, but one day you will. Yeah. One day you will. Maybe in the era of relationships, maybe there were some areas in your life that has left you at the end of 2022 with a level of brokenness. There's disappointment in the area of your relationships. Maybe something happened by way of your marriage. Maybe you're grieving the loss of someone that was close to you. And there were things that were very confusing. You started 2021 full of faith, saying, God, I'm believing that this is going to be the year of breakthrough for me in this particular area of my relationships, only to finish the year more confused than ever. And you're saying, God, you know, what are you even doing here? I want to say this to you today. God is saying, you don't know what I'm doing right now. You don't understand it, but one day you will. Maybe in the area of ministry, you're saying, God, I expected in 2021 that I would take steps ahead and, you know, you'd anoint me for intercession. You'd show me how to heal people, to show me how to prophesy. I expected you'd give me opportunities to preach or lead worship. What am I doing leading kids' church? If that's you today, God is saying, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but one day you will. One day you will. How many of you know that we have, as human beings, a limited capacity to understand what God is doing in the moment? Come on, hello. Hello, come on. For so many of us, maybe across 2021, you've looked at people, human beings, other people. You've looked at certain opportunities, you've looked at certain situations and had pinned your hopes on those people or situations to be the solution for the problems that you've had. And you prayed along the lines of, God, you know, if you could just help to make me cross paths or introduce me to that woman there who is connected to that guy over there who knows, who's the cousin of the CEO of that company over there that is going to give me the job promotion, then it'll all be fantastic. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That'll be the year that this is going to happen, right? We look to people for the solutions to our current problems. Maybe you're single and there was a certain individual that you thought would rescue you away from this life of loneliness and those awkward weddings you had to go to on your own. And it didn't turn out that way. Maybe there were certain promises that you sensed that God was going to give to you by way of a person solving a situation for you. And it just did not happen the way that you thought. And you said, God, I don't understand what you're doing. Jesus, I don't understand what you're doing. I thought that you would provide for me in the way that I want you to provide for me, only for Jesus to throw it all back in your face. If you're here today and you're saying, God, I don't understand what you're doing. God is saying to you, you don't understand now what I'm doing. But one day you will. Yeah. Here with these disciples, and Jesus is doing an incredibly confusing thing. It's like Jesus, what are you even doing? To which Jesus looks Peter in the eye. He could read the room. He knew full well that none of these disciples understood at all what Jesus was doing in the moment. But the day was going to come when they would. See, sometimes we look to people, but God has higher purposes in mind. Sometimes we look to events and circumstances to change, but God has higher purposes that He wants to outwork. Come on, are you out there? The Bible says that His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. In the book of Acts chapter 3, there was a man that was born lame and he was begging at the gate of the temple. Now, this was pre-NDIS, pre-Centrelink, pre-social support services. That was before Medibank Private. I feel better now. You know what I'm talking about? Like, people that had his condition had no other way of surviving apart from relying on the charity of people that were passing by to worship. Yeah. So we thought that the most charitable people would have been the Christians. So it was a good place to beg. So he sat at the gate, beautiful, every day of his life, hoping and waiting that someone would just give him enough money to eat for the day. That's the kind of life that he had. Come on. That day, he encounters Peter and John, two disciples. We pick up the account in Acts 3, verse 2. It says, each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money, because that was his expectation. He thought that today, God, you're going to send me somebody that would just give me enough money for food. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. So Peter and John stop, and they engage with him. And the lame man looked at them eagerly. Here's the expectation. He looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Have you ever expected something from somebody? Thought that that was the answer to prayer that Jesus was giving you? Come on. He was Peter and John, and they're walking past. The man looked at them, eagerly expecting some money, only for Peter to say, I don't have any silver and gold for you. I don't have any money. We work for the church. This man wanted food for the day. But how many of you know that God had greater plans for him that day than just to fill his stomach? Because if we keep on reading Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says, Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Get up and walk. See, in the time when Peter said, I don't have any money for you, this man would have thought, I don't understand what you're doing. You're meant to be a Christian. You're meant to be charitable. God, this was meant to be an answer for me for the day, to provide food for me. But it says in verse 7, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, began to walk, then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Oh, I need to preach this right now. If you're just here disappointed that God didn't give you food for the day, I want to tell you, He's got so much more than just a full belly for you. What He has in store for you this year is so much greater than the door He shut from you last year. Some of us are disappointed that God, where was my money for food for the day? But God all along had in store for this man a walking and leaping and praising God life. What He wanted from God, what He wanted, His own understanding, what He wanted from God was to feel full for the day, but stay lame and broken. But what God had in store for him was for him to be walking, leaping, and praising God. To be made whole, body, soul, spirit, walking, leaping. Are you guys not getting this right now? It's so much more than just getting food for the day. You're disappointed maybe that in 2021, your little prayer wasn't answered. I'm not denying the bigness of your issue, but maybe God wants you to lift your faith, because what He wants to do is so much more than to answer the prayer that you've been praying. You don't understand what God is doing, but one day you will. What He's got for you this year is greater than the door has closed on you. That's a prophetic word for somebody watching through the screen. Maybe you feel like You've been turned down. You've been expecting the money to come out of the pocket of Peter and John. You've been expecting God to answer your prayers in a certain way, and you felt like the door was shut on you. Can I suggest to you today that what he's got for you is greater than the door he's closed on you? And if he didn't close that door, you're going to stay and stand there still knocking at the small door that you've been trying to open when God's got a much bigger door for you. So many of us struggle to understand what God is doing in the moment, but you've got to let it play out. Come on, you got to let it play out. For some of you have started to post on Facebook, oh, 2021 was such a tough year. It is so too early to call. Just because some things didn't go your way in 2021, it doesn't mean that God had abandoned you. It doesn't mean that, come on, it doesn't mean that God's not working. If some door's shut on you and you're carrying some disappointment, it doesn't mean that God has walked out on you. Maybe, just maybe, he's shutting those doors for you. He's not giving you the coin in the disciple's pocket because he wants to give you the healing in your strength and your legs. Come on. He no longer wants you eating at the gate, because he wants you feasting in the banquet table in the house of God. But you can't see it at the time. God, I don't understand what you're doing. But one day you will. You guys getting something out of this? You know, in 2011, Nations Church was a single-site church, and we were in a dingy, derelict basketball court that our team had to set up and pack down every Sunday. To make matters worse, our youth was also in a separate building they had to set up every Friday night in a community hall. And you know, and in 2011, the church had been going for, I don't know, since 2004 back then. And it was some years that rolled on. And we would just get a sense that maybe it was time for some permanence. And it's time for us to stop, you know, hiring and leasing facilities and being at the behest of landlords and other building owners. And so in 2011, we found a big block of land with an empty warehouse on it that we thought would be the block of land that we would buy in 2011 that we could build our own building and we have a bit of a permanency there and it'll be absolutely fantastic. So we started to talk with the owner, and the owner then came back to us and said, look, the lowest that I would go by way of price for that block of land was, if my memory serves me correctly, was $8.1 or $8.2 million. That is as low as we want to go for that block of land. As we began to add up the costs of building on top of that, and it just seemed like it was completely out of our reach because our church was only small. We were a single-site church back then, only a few hundred people. God shut that door in 2011. There was the incredible disappointment that I carried. 2011, 2012, 2013 rolled on. We were still in the Hyatt Hall. 2014, a building became available in Hayden Court. That then became the place of our permanence, our first permanent location for Nations Church in 2014. And we were able to purchase that building for $2.6 million instead of stretching multiple millions of dollars. I'm so glad God shut that door on us. Come on, are you out there? So that we could then move to that building in 2014 in 10 Hayden Court in 2014. By the time 2016 rolled over, the church had grown rapidly. We'd become a multi-site church. And the sense that I got was that the Myrie campus was starting to grow really fast and really needed to expand. So, you know, we were adding services. And the leader in me knew that, man, this is unsustainable. We can't just keep adding services ad infinitum. You know what I'm talking about? You can't just nebulously keep adding services. We need to expand the capacity, the seating capacity of our church. And so I said to our board, we need to approach the neighbor of our Hayden Court property to sell to us. And so in 2016, we approached the neighbor and we said to him, would you like to sell your part, the building that you own for us, to us, so that, you know, we can expand, you know? Are you interested in selling? In 2016, the owner actually said to us, you know, yeah, I would like to sell, but not this year. This is not the year. Okay, so we thought, okay, he's interested, you know, but not this year. 2017, we said to the owner, would you like to sell it? Like to us, he goes, yeah, we're really interested, but not this year. Man, I started praying and fasting. That was the year I lost all that weight. Oh my gosh. I started to fantasize about taking that whole cul-de-sac and renaming Hayden Court into Nations Court. Hallelujah. Heard the angels sing and everything. I like written the script in my head, how it was all gonna unfold. It was gonna be amazing. And like we tacked that building onto the building that's already tacked onto the other building. Just knocked down a few walls. It'd be amazing. It'd be awesome. That's how you increase capacity. 2018 rolled past. We said to the owner, this has got to be the year. Sell it to us. You know, we'll pay a good price for it. yeah, I'm really interested, but not this year. 2019, I thought, surely, like how many building our futures can I stand up and say, man, we're going to expand. 2019, the owner completely ghosted us. Stopped returning all our calls. Like every time I'd walk past his window, he'd like hide. It's like, come on, man, sell the building to us. I said to my board, I don't know what to do. I'm desperate. Like like people are sitting out in the foyer. Come on, you know, like we need to expand. I don't know what to do. That was about September. That September board meeting, I remember being at a real low point. The next month, October 2019, Corey Turner, who is a prophetic friend of ours, comes and he stands on the pulpit of the Myrick campus and said, within 6 months, the Lord's going to release land for this campus to purchase. That was October 2019. In November 2019, I prepared a sermon called Behold, Take Another Look. It was the launch of our Christmas campaign at the time. And it was the, you know, probably about mid-November at the time. It was a Friday afternoon. I remember it so clearly. I printed my sermon out. I finished it, printed it out. Behold, Take Another Look. No one knew I was preparing the sermon with that title, right? It had come out of the printer as I was walking to the printer to pull my sermon out because I'm old school. I still print my sermon out. Our business manager, Boy, taps me on the shoulder on that Friday afternoon at about 4:30 p.m. and says, PK, that block of land that you guys looked at in 2011, Plail Street, has come back on the market. Do you want to take another look? And so the next day, I and some board members went to have a look at 8 Plail Street. And the asking price, because it hadn't been sold since 2011, had now dropped. We put an offer down for $5.6 million. It was accepted. In January that year, the next year of 2020, it settled. In February, we signed a building contract. In March 2020, the pandemic hit. We became the only church to have built in a pandemic. For 4 years, I raged at God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand what you're doing. 2018, I don't understand what you're doing. 2019, I really don't understand what you're doing. See, I said to God, God, is this the year that our neighbor's going to sell for us? 2016, God said no. 2017, God said no. 2018, God said no. 2019, God said, which part of no wasn't clear? And now I'm standing, for those of you that are watching through the screen, I'm standing on the yes. Yes. That I didn't understand back then. In 2017 and 16 and 15, I didn't understand back then. Maybe you're right now in my 2015 and 2016 of that story, and you don't understand what God is doing, but one day you will. You're going to let it play out. It's too easy to call. Don't call it a failure. Don't call it, come on, don't call it a lost cause. Don't call it been and gone. Don't call it God has abandoned you. It is too early to call. Let God play it out. You don't know what God is up to. How are you to know? You're just a human. He's the creator of the universe. You don't know or understand what I'm doing, but one day you will. One day you will. It's never obvious what God is doing. Our expectations are only aligned with our limited capacity to understand as frail human beings. Peter thought Jesus at the end of his ministry with us, he loves us. He's going to go to the cross, right? He's going to teach me how to rule like a king. What is he doing teaching me how to wash feet like a servant? I don't know what you're doing, Jesus. Jesus looks him in the eye and says, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but one day you will. One day you will understand. All of our Christian journey with God, it's about us doing our part and God doing his. Our capacity to understand what goes on is only limited to the part we can play. All the things that God does behind the scenes, you will never be able to understand. But that's how Christianity works. If you actually think about the Bible and the way that Paul writes the full Christian journey, you see a lot of partnership language. He says things like co-labor, joint heir. Make sense to you? He often uses these sorts of language. He talks about sharing in his suffering, sharing in his glory. There is a partnership that happens between you and God. You can only know and control your part. You cannot know nor control God's part. And we become unstuck when we try and manipulate and control the parts that we were never created to know, understand, nor control. Mark chapter 4, Jesus actually teaches this to us. It's going to help some people. It says this in verse 26. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, this, if you want to know what a kingdom of God is like, this is how it works. It's like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Now, you and I are the farmers. Scatter, you can change that word for sowing. It's this picture of how, as people, we're responsible for waking up early, toiling the ground, getting our equipment, getting the seed ready, paying the price for that seed, and then sowing it in the ground. Making sense to you? That's the part we play. Verse 27, then night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, catch this, but he does not understand how it happens. You don't understand what's going on beneath the soil. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. Say this after me. For the harvest time has come. For the harvest time has come. Let me preach into this. You and I are responsible just for walking in obedience. You and I are responsible just for keeping in faith. You and I are responsible for holding on and letting God play his part. You and I are responsible for being diligent and stewarding what we've got. You and I are responsible for staying in faith, not doubt. Come on, are you out there? We've got to do our part. But there are so many things that we don't understand. And if there's anything in 2022 that I want to give to you today, it's to resolve this, that there will always be things about the kingdom of God that you won't understand. Not immediately anyway. Some of you are going, that's not very encouraging at all, is it? Because I want to know everything. I want to understand everything. How many of you are super curious like that? You just want to know how things work. I just got to know how it works, BK. You know, it's like we need to understand before we feel assured. Like, we need to understand before we can feel at peace with it. Like, you know, when you talk to people and they're like pouring over a decision, and you ask them, how are you going with that praying? And they're like, oh, I just don't have any peace about it right now. What they're really saying is that I don't understand anything that's going on. That's why I'm uneasy about it. That's really what they're saying. I don't have all the facts, right? We all want the peace of God after we get the understanding, right? Which makes sense in our head, but it's not biblical. Some of you go, what? Paul says this. Put the verse up, verse 7. This is going to rock your world. And the peace of God. How many of you want the peace of God for 2022? And the peace of God, which comes after you've done all your Facebook fact checks. Did it say that? And the peace of God, which comes when you get full understanding of all of the issues at hand. Did it say that? When does the peace of God come? It's the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That's the kind of peace of God in 2022 that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, man. I don't know how many people that have pursued human understanding only to find their own lives filled with anxiety and fear and worry and find themselves taking more tablets this year than they did last year. Why? Because the pursuit of human understanding has never given anyone the peace of God. If you want the peace of God, you got to give up your right to understand. The peace of God that surpasses, goes beyond, is not hedged to or linked to your capacity to understand. If you want the peace of God in 2022, the best thing that you can do is say, God, I give up my right to understand what's going on beneath the soil. So many of us get our hands dirty, our fingers dirty, because we've gone back into the dirt to play with the seed. God, can you hurry up a little bit? Can you please, you know, and like we've already sown it and then we're going to dig it up the next week. It's like, what's going on? Nothing's happening, God. What's going on? And like, we're like elbow deep in the dirt. When God is saying, leave it alone. You've sown it. You don't understand. Go to sleep, wake up. Go to sleep, wake up. It'll sprout in its time. The greatest test of faith for any Western modern day believer is the test of time between when they sow and when they see the sprout. Right? You know why? because we're so used to pushing buttons that give an immediate response. We push buttons that give an immediate response. You know how when you touch your phone screen, it doesn't respond? What do? You really jam that thing. Four times, just in case it's not immediately giving you the app. The app's not opening straight away. You got stanky face and everything. And the 40 pluses, you know, you tip your glasses a bit lower just to see whether your finger actually is touching the right app. That's after increasing the font and everything. But he's saying, leave the seed in the ground. Leave the seed in the ground. You don't understand what I'm doing right now, but one day you will. Some of you are saying, God, when is my time going to come? God, I believed in 2021 that you were going to do something. It was going to be my time for this, my time for breakthrough. I believed in faith. People prayed for me. They prophesied. Friend, your time will come in his time. Not a minute sooner. Not a minute later. Your time will come in his time. Proverbs 3 verse 5 is a very famous, if you're not a Bible reader here, it's a very famous verse that if you are a Christian and been raised a Christian, your grandmother probably had it on her toilet door. It says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own. Wise man, Solomon, wasn't he? What was he saying? Human understanding will always be the enemy of trust. Human understanding. If you had human understanding, you wouldn't need to trust God. And at any given point in your life in 2022, you will have two options, two pillars to lean on. Will you lean on human understanding? Which I promise you, whatever you understand and know, whatever information you have about your life and the world around you in January 2022, I promise you is going to change in February 2022. And then again, at the start of March. And then your understanding of your entire world will change when Mark McGowan makes his next press conference. If you're living in WA. You know what I'm saying? So you decide what you want to lean on. If you're leaning on something as shaky as human understanding, don't come to me when your world's falling apart, because I know who I want to lean on, and it's the Lord. Here's what you need to catch. The Bible is not pro-ignorance. It's pro-trust in God. Because God knows that your capacity to understand to the level of your satisfaction, to get the kind of peace that you think is going to come when that utopian level of understanding comes to you, you will be pursuing it for your whole life, and you will only cause fear, turmoil, and chaos. It's time for the church to understand that my peace does not come from my understanding, but it comes from God. And I don't understand everything that you're doing now, God, but one day I will. One day I will. There are certain things I don't understand about what God is doing in my son, Isaiah, but one day I will. One day I will. There are certain things that are going on right now in so many different people's lives I don't have answers for in our church. I carry the burden of your loose ends, of loops that aren't closed, of questions that you have. I don't have the answers, but I know that God, by God's glory, one day we will. Because I know that I serve a God who tells me that he works all things together for good for those who love him, that are called according to his purpose. And if you don't get to understand it in this life, you will in the next. I don't understand what you're doing, God. But one day I will. I don't understand what you're doing, God. But one day I will. I wish I could stand up here today and tell you that I have all the answers. I don't. I'm just as in the dark as to how 2022 is going to play out, just as much as you are. But I tell you who I've gone in the dark with me is Jesus, my light. Come on, are you out there? I don't know where you're at today. But if you've ended 2021 with more questions at the end of the year than you had at the start of the year, you're in good company. But I tell you what, you might not understand what God is doing right now, but one day you will. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Is that helpful to you guys? Come on, would you stand to your feet across all our campuses as well right now? I want to leave you with this one thought. Put this slide up. I want to leave you with this one thought. If there's anything that I can leave you with for this year, this prophetic word is this: do your part above the soil, and let him do his beneath the soil. Is that okay? Do your part. Do your part above the soil. Pray. Get people around you. Believe with you. Lay a hold of God. Lean in. Lean in. Get into prayer meetings. Read. Obviously, let your faith rise. Do your part above the soil. Be diligent to steward your faith. But let God do His beneath the soil. So many of us stop doing things that we can control and try and mess with the things we can't control. You know what I'm saying? We don't do our part, we try and mess with God's part. Mess with what's going on beneath the soil, get our fingers dirty, and then we turn up to church going, ha ha, dirty hands are wet. You just sow. Do your part above the soil. Do your part above the soil and let God do a work beneath it. When it's time for harvest, it's time for harvest. You can't rush it. Not a minute too soon, not a minute too late.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.